You're listening to That's the Hashtag Truth with Daniel and Jenny Muscatel, where we let real people get real honest about the bottom line.
Well, good morning. I'm Jenny Muscatel.
I'm Dan.
Joining us today, we have Letitia Aloysius, and Letitia is a single ventricle heart warrior born with many heart defects. She's a strong believer in Jesus, and she uses her experiences living with a chronic health condition to bring hope to others. So, Letitia, welcome. How are you?
I'm good. How are y'all?
We're doing good. Yeah. We are so excited to have you here with us today. You just have such a heart to serve, and that's apparent in everything that you do. And we just really can't wait to hear what God's doing in your life.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So now you're a single ventricle heart warrior. Can you explain for the people watching what that is exactly?
Yeah. So I was born with several heart conditions. I'd say my main one is pulmonary atresia with intact ventricular septum. And I also have some issues with the aorta. But a lot of these conditions really is just the right side of my heart is the one that's pretty messed up at the moment. So single ventricle, what that means is it's a three-step typically surgery process. Norwood, Glenn, and Fontanne is what I had. I also had the BT shunt like the day after I was born, very much in the beginning. And all of this results in a single ventricle function. So the right ventricle in my heart just either does not exist or it's too small to function. In my case, it's kind of there, but it's basically a tiny little hole. It doesn't do anything. So that's really what that means. So I have only the left ventricle functioning at the moment. And I also have bicuspid aortic valve and aortic valve stenosis. So that means in the aortic valve, instead of three leaflets, there's two. Same with the bicuspid valve. And I have like the aortic valve is also like smaller than usual. So there was a lot of other procedures for that. But that's the main thing is the whole Fontanne procedure for single ventricle.
Well, I mean, that's a really complex situation, isn't it? But you did an amazing job explaining it. Now, can you take us back a little bit to what that was like for you growing up?
So a lot of it, I'm thankful to my parents for not making it such a big deal, I would say. Like the words broken or you can't do anything, things like that were never thrown around in my situation. Later on, I learned doctors would say various things, but I mean, I never heard it personally. The only things I would say that would have affected me was like PE classes, things like that. I had PE teachers who were just not understanding who would give me an F or a D because my mile time was 20 minutes, which that's just like, that's great for me, you know? But they'd say, well, I would have given you an F, but because of your note, I gave you a D. And I'm like, that's still failing me. And that's still not right. Mm-hmm. And so in high school, I didn't do PE at all, just because at that point, my option was to sit on the sides or not take the class and take choir or something. So I was like, why would I just sit on the sides and waste my time? So I didn't take it. Mm-hmm. But in terms of like actually doing things, I was able to do it. I just was restricted to the point where I thought I couldn't. But now I like started in the past few years, started working out and getting back into that and really learning like what I can do and what I want to do and really getting the whole idea of barriers out of my head, because ultimately it's God's power through me who's doing all this. Like it's something as simple as working out, not my own strength. So my head, if he gave me a special heart, then I can still do all the ways, all the things I want to do, but in a different way. And that's not bad.
Absolutely. I know. So I'm a heart mom, so to speak. And so my daughter, she's 27. And so I hear what you're saying, because we've spent a lot of her life just really focusing on not what we can't do, but how do we do it and do it different? You know, there's a way. How do you find that way? Yeah. Now, did you ever struggle at all just in having conversations about what was going on for you? You know, you had your teacher who maybe didn't understand your medical condition and gives you a D for doing a really good job making it the mile. Were there other things that came up that were difficult for you to maybe talk with folks about?
I don't really remember really talking about my heart condition. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that at home, we didn't really talk about it. And it's just like, I think like in culturally too, like any conditions like that is a taboo thing. So you just don't talk about these things. And personally, I didn't really know how to word it. Like, I did not meet another person with CHD, let alone a single ventricle, till I was 18. And even then, it wasn't anyone my age. Like, to this day, I now, because of, I guess, like Facebook groups, I know of people that are my age, but I haven't like met them in person. And I still haven't met another single ventricle my age. So there's just a lot of like things that I wasn't exposed to younger. I didn't like go to heart camps and all that stuff that I'm hearing of now. So I just didn't really know what to say. Like, I would say, oh yeah, I had heart surgery, or I have a heart thing. Like, that's usually how I worded it, because I myself did not understand it. And it wasn't really a topic that came up in conversation. Again, if someone asked, why aren't you doing PE? Like, how are you able to fit this many classes in your schedule on top of PE? And I'd be like, oh, I'm not doing PE. I have a heart thing. That's to the extent I went. And I didn't really start sharing anything until, honestly, this school year slash kind of last school year is really when I started sharing it. But really, these past few months is really when it's consistently being shared. Because I really learned like how God uses everything for the good of others and for him to bring glory to himself. Romans 8:28 summarizes that. But I really learned that. And I was like, this is part of the story. You can't just ignore it and pretend it doesn't exist. So that's when I really started getting involved in things and sharing it more and having conversations with friends. If they brought up a question because they saw my social media post about a heart walk or whatever, or they saw my prayer request, like, I'm recording a podcast, pray for me. Like, they would ask me questions, and rather than kind of like diverting the conversation, I would actually have a conversation with them. So it's more recent that I've been openly talking about it. Before, I didn't really. Yeah.
That's amazing. So how was that for you in that shift? You know, what does it feel like to now be having those conversations with people?
It feels freeing and it feels really nice. I guess I like, I don't know, unconsciously just didn't talk about it because I didn't really realize how people would respond, or I don't know. I just, in my head, I was just making up the worst case scenario possibly. And I just did not want to be seen as like, oh, the heart condition and that's it. But as I talk about it more, it's really, you can tell it's the work of God because of the impact that it's having, whether it's on one person or a group of people or just on myself. Like, I can tell that that's God's work. And so the results are crazy. Like, I told you how this week alone, like 3 podcast recordings are happening. And I'm like, I could never even dream of being on a podcast, let alone like having 3 in the same week. And I'm just like, that's crazy. And like on a whim, I remember submitting an article to you guys, really. And I remember sitting in one of the buildings at Baylor and typing it up in a span of 30 minutes and being like, what did I just type? And rereading it. And I was like, wow, that was God, not me. So things just keep happening and it's so amazing and I really love it. And having those conversations and getting the support from my Bible study friends, my choir friends and all of that, I'm just like, this is really, really great and not at all what I expected, which is, you know, my expectations were completely the opposite end. And God really laughs at our expectations because he has something so much better in store for us. So I can really see the fruit of that now.
That's awesome.
That's really cool.
I love that. So it's funny too, because, you know, when God says, all right, I'm going to open up a door to communication, mm-hmm. he opens the yeah. door. It sounds like the floodgate wide open here, you know, and things are booming. Do you have a sense about let me back that up a little bit. When God communicates with you, that's always very personal for everyone. Is there a pattern of communication he tends to have with you?
I feel like it depends a lot of times, but I'm a big feeler. Like when I explain to people, I'm just like, I just know it. I just feel it. Like it's just something in me. Like I just know it. And that's so hard to explain unless you experience it. But also a lot of the times, like I'm reading his word in the morning and then just like the perfect verse comes up and I'm like, I can't ignore that. Or I have conversations with people or I go to church and like the sermon topic is exactly what I need. Or there's a worship song that comes up and I'm like, okay, cool. I really can't ignore all of these signs. Nothing's a coincidence. It all happens for a reason. But mostly, like when I have those big moments, like it's also how I wrote my personal statement for OT school. I had like a moment and I just kind of started typing. And that's really a big feeling or just something just happens in me and I just immediately obey. And half the time, I don't know what I've said or what I wrote until I read it back. And I'm like, yeah, that's definitely Jesus.
That's so cool.
Has he given you a sense of what he's doing with all of this yet?
A sliver. I'd say a sliver. So, you know, my pastor said, if he gave you the whole picture, then you might not want to follow it because you see all the hardships along the way. But the sliver he's given me is really a heart for the CHD community, but also a heart for mental health and all that. I want to be an occupational therapist. Just submitted my application, so we'll see how that goes.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you. But I really felt called to mental health OT as well as pediatrics. I shadowed an OT and really felt drawn to those. And I have a very potential internship lined up to finish my public health major out. And it is at a clinic that's promoting like mental health for CHD patients from a public, and my role as a public health professional would be to help with the planning and implementation of a lot of the program procedures. So things like that are lining up, and that's such a specific internship, you know, that's like the topics that everything is just lining up, and we're like 98% confirmed. So, you know, really, if it's God's will, it'll be 100% soon. But that's things like that are happening. But I do feel a very strong drawing to mental health and potentially specializing with CHD patients like down the road one of these days.
He really does open the door, doesn't he, to everything. Mm-hmm. It's funny what you say about a sliver. That's for me. That's how I experience it too. I don't know about you, but for me, if you tell me, all right, this is what you got to do, I'm like, let's do it. So mm-hmm. he has to give me pieces like little by little by little. Otherwise,
yeah.
And I get it. So he gets me a little bit and then he gets louder and then louder and louder. But yeah. For you, it sounds like he's really just speaking really loud right now, very clear. So I'm excited to see where all of that goes. Now, we've talked a little bit about your CHD journey. When did your faith mm-hmm. walk start?
So my faith journey, I would say I got saved March 2020, not COVID related. COVID related in a way where I had absolutely nothing to do. And like one day, that was the first time I really felt something like that. I was like, read your Bible. And so I did. And it really started from there. But I went to a church camp the summer of 2019. So I was 17 at the time. And I really just saw these people. They were all so joyful, regardless of their circumstances. And if even if they weren't, they had a way of dealing with these things through prayer and community. And I learned what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus, which is something that I didn't really know, you know, having a relationship with him, with God, like that sounded like something foreign to me. So that was really cool. And I was like, I want what those people have. And so from that church camp, I got a name of a church that was near me and started going slowly. But then March 2020 is when I really started taking it seriously, started reading my Bible, learning about Jesus, and watching sermons and everything, because everything was online at that point. But it's funny because by that time, like in November itself, I think I was accepted into Baylor, which is a Christian college. And now I have amazing community here. So God really was lining everything up, because I don't know, like part of me doesn't know why I applied here, but now I realize like why I was supposed to come here. I saw that it was great for healthcare, and that was pretty much it. But then as time went on, I really loved the fact that I had a strong Christian community and that I could be involved in it and serve here. And so, yeah, God lined that up before I even really understood why. But that's like a small gist of my faith journey.
That's awesome. When you first, you said you started reading the Bible, was there a place you turned? Was it the Gospels? Was it at the very beginning?
So I turned to Genesis and started reading it, and I was very confused, so I stopped. And then I saw a sermon that was like, start in the Gospels. And so I started in John, just because I think, I don't know, I just really wanted to start in John or Matthew, and I chose John. And I read it fully. I also like searched up some commentary on things I didn't understand, because I grew up hearing stories, but it didn't really go in my head properly, or at least I knew the story, but I didn't really understand the significance or the weight behind it and how it relates to us today. And so I read John, Matthew, Mark, and then that's really when I started reading like other books in the New Testament and then the Old Testament, and like really getting into different parts of the Bible. But when I did first start, it was the Gospel, because everything else kind of was confusing, especially the Old Testament. So it was easiest to really be like, who was Jesus? I just want to know about Jesus, his ministry, how it all began, and then going from there.
That's really cool, because when you were talking about God giving us this sliver, and then I thought it was cool you said you started in the Gospels, because if you look at how the disciples followed Jesus, he was like, let's go to this town. And I'm sure they were like, what are we going to do here? And he showed them, and then they did, you know, one town or one village at a time. They didn't get the whole picture either, but he led them step by step, and they grew just like we do. So that's really cool that you started in the Gospels.
Yeah, that is.
Are there certain Bible verses that you cling to that keep you going?
I love Romans 8:28, like I said before. Psalm 23:4 was like the first one I really like meditated on, I would say. And just Psalm 23 in general. I don't have the whole Psalm memorized or anything, but it's such a comforting Psalm. Jeremiah 29:11, about how he knows all the plans he has for us and they're for good. And I feel like when it relates to my CHD journey, that's really a big thing. I have Ephesians 2:10 on my wall, and it just simply says like, you're God's masterpiece. And I love that too, because again, when we're talking about CHD, it's easy in this community to think you're broken and like completely useless, and that you're formed, you know, God made a mistake. He like accidentally did something to your heart. It's like, no, he didn't accidentally do something. He gave that to you for a special purpose and a reason. And we may not understand it because it's not easy, but he works it all for good and his glory. And in the end, it's really not about us. And people don't like hearing that, but it's not about us. It's about the grand scheme of things and his vision for the world. So I feel like those are like the main verses I love and cling to, among many, many others. But yeah.
Oh, well, I love that. You are just on fire for God, and I can see that. And I just am so impressed that you use your experience to show His love to other people, and that, you know, you recognize that, you know, this, there's good that comes out of everything. And even our hard times, even the things we struggle with, you know, He uses them. I mean, I hear the saying a lot, He brings beauty from ashes. And
yes,
the Bible verse, I'm going to turn to Dan because he was a pastor for 10 years. And so Bible verse, I think it's in Isaiah that says, see I'm doing here a new thing. Do you see it spring forth?
Yeah.
And And so I think of that verse when I hear you talk. I'm like, what is He doing? I'm doing a new thing. So
yeah,
you share your story. One of the things that we do, as you know, when somebody comes on our show, is we ask them, what's something that you wish people asked you more often? And what you had let us know that you would wish people would ask you more often is, despite all your hardships, why do you still believe in God?
Well, I think that's the million-dollar question, because ultimately that's the question that leads a lot of people away from God. Mm-hmm. And my answer to that is, how can I not believe? Because the prayer has been answered. Yes, I still have a heart condition. It's not like He magically, you know, snapped His fingers and it went away. But I'm here. I'm 21. I'm in college. I have a future that's, you know, in the foreseeable future, I'm going to be doing so many things. And right now, He's opening so many doors. I have a relationship with God, which means that I don't need to care about what other people think of me or what any of my circumstances, like how hard things can be. I have a hope in God and a place to turn to in prayer. And I believe in Him because He lets me talk to Him, you know, as a father. And moreover, He died on the cross for me and for all of my sins. And He created me with a specific purpose. And I feel like when it comes to all the hardships and the prayer requests and the, I would say, quote unquote, unanswered prayers, because I heard a pastor say how our prayers, like the minute we pray to God, He has already answered it. It's like a mail, like He sends it in the mail. You don't know when it's going to get there, but He's already answered it. However, the answer may not always be a yes. It can be a not now, so He delays it and gives it later. Or it can be yes, but in a different way. And I feel like that's the case with my situation. Yes, you still have a heart condition. But yes, you're still good and you have a life, and I'm going to do so much to it through you and through it. And I think that all the this opportunities and the conversations I've been having and all the, you know, doorways I have to the CHD community and to mental health and to all these like things based on my unique experiences would not have happened without my heart condition and all the other things I've had to go through. So I believe in Him because I've seen that after all these things have happened, He still uses it for good. And I think it's hard to see, like when you're in the midst of hardship, to see where the finish line is, which is totally understandable. But once you do, you know, persevere, push through in faith and get to that end of that season, you can look back and be like, wow, God did so much despite all of this. So, yeah, that's, you know, I guess that's the short answer to why I believe.
It's beautiful. It is. Oh, I mean, I was honestly choking up a little bit while you were talking about that. Your faith, your passion is just so beautiful and pure. And, you know, for somebody out there who's maybe watching or listening today and they're struggling, and maybe they're struggling with a physical ailment, or maybe they're struggling with something emotional or spiritual, what would you say to them?
Don't give up. It's so easy to, you know, blame God when you can't feel Him. But even if you don't feel Him, like, don't give up. something that just kind of like came to me one day was, you know, when you put your hand super close to your face and it's really blurry and you can't really see properly. I believe that's Jesus during the hardship. He's so close, he can seem blurry, and you can't see the bigger picture because he's that close to you. I mean, the Bible says he's close to the brokenhearted. So if things seem fuzzy, that's because God is that close to you, like your hand, like directly on your face. And when things are great, you're able to see the bigger picture. And it's not like Jesus is further, but I mean, in this example, it's like you can see the bigger picture. Things are more clear and set. But when you are brokenhearted and going through that time, even if it's fuzzy, like that's how close God is to you. And that's how much he wants to, you know, bring you out of this, and that he's doing a good work in this season. It's not for waste, and to not give up and to surround yourself with community. And that's something I've personally, you know, struggled in the past. I'm good at shutting people out, but really learning that you need that community. You can't just like, you know, say, no, I can't make it. I can't make it all the time because you don't feel like going. It's, you got to push through that and find those people and be in prayer and in his word and have people pray over you and really not go into isolation is the main thing.
It's absolutely beautiful.
It is.
Yeah.
In your studies for OT, all of the things you've talked about for yourself, a lot of it has to do with overcoming. God's helped a lot of changing in your perspective. How will you bring that kind of perspective into OT? Because you're going to work one-on-one with people in that environment,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So how do you bring that into encouraging and mentoring or affecting people in a positive way in that environment when you are an occupational therapist?
Oh, I love that question. OT is like it encompasses all of this. You know, OT is really when people come, and whether it's mental health or it's a child born with autism, ADHD, whatever, behavioral therapy, or, you know, if it's handwriting or, you know, getting them to walk properly, corresponding with their developmental age or an adult mental health problem, whatever it is, these people are coming to you broken. Sometimes the parents are hopeless, like my child is just not developing or whatever. And a lot of these people with mental health issues are just really sad. A lot of the times in my shadowing, I've seen them come to the clinic crying, right? So this is how they come to you. And I think that's such a beautiful vision of what God has. Like when we go to God, that's how we are ought to go to him. And he doesn't magically fix things. Like we can't fix things and make their conditions disappear. But it's really like related to how God, you know, works with what he's got. And with RCHD, how we adapt and live differently. And that's really what you're helping them to do. You know, you're doing what's meaningful to them, helping with their activities of daily living. Something as simple as brushing our teeth does not come as easy to other people. And so you're helping them adapt given their current circumstances. And I really love that. And that's the perspective that I think would be helpful, because you're not ignoring their hardships and you're not trying to fix everything and put a band-aid on bullet wounds. You're really just working with what you got and with a lot of compassion and care and listening to them. And really, I plan to pray for my patients because ultimately it's his will to be done. And through that mindset is when you can really help them adapt to their situation and work around these things and even use a lot of these things to their advantage. Like I know a lot of individuals who were born with autism has increased empathy. My best friend's brother is like that. And he's the most lovable person, right? So all these things are good things, and you can really teach them to use these things for their advantage and the good of others to gain their independence eventually, and also, you know, adapt to their situation rather than ignoring all these hardships.
That's very awesome. And you're a good example of that, because you are on a journey right now and have been for a while. You're going through doors and being propelled forward, and you're you're seeing your life not limited because you're focusing on God and he's propelling you forward.
Yeah.
Well, I think you're just incredible. I don't know if you have speaking things lined up in your future, but I'm like, stick her on a pulpit and let her go. She's ready. Yeah. But we just thank you so much for sharing your heart and your time with us today. I don't know if you can tell, I don't know if anybody's ever told you, but you're definitely gifted with this ability to speak and
communicate clearly.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. You can see a gifting there. Yeah. So it's really,
oh, wow. Yeah.
You're going to affect a lot of people in a good way, whether in your professional setting or also in your like personal social life.
Wow, thank you so much.
You already do, obviously, but you're going to have a long good journey along those lines.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Oh my gosh, what an incredible story she has in heart.
It wasn't just a good conversation, although obviously it was that, but a couple of times I got emotional, and honestly, it made me make me have to sniff and hold the tears back because I felt God's power.
She really is a powerful speaker. I mean, I see her go in places.
I do too. She already is. She is on a downhill journey. She is.
I don't know what direction, but
when I said she's being propelled by God, I really mean, I feel like she's being propelled right now. Like,
yeah, incredible young woman, incredible story, incredible heart. I just feel honored that we got to spend this time with her.
I do too.
Yeah.
So she has a voice for people who feel limited to see themselves in God's picture, which then means they aren't limited because of him. What he wants to accomplish, it will just happen if they partner in a sense with God and allow him to lead them, it will happen.
And her personal experience, you know, what she can bring to the table as she talks about the work that she wants to do in occupational therapy and just the insight that she has into the beauty of the people who she'll be working with. You know, I just am incredibly moved by her ability to just look at the strength that people have.
Yeah.
You know, and when you can see the strength in someone, when you can see God's power in someone in their journey, recognizing that, I mean, that just brings them forward. It's unbelievable.
You help propel them.
Mm-hmm, exactly. She is, what a sweet, sweet woman, young woman.
Yep, she is.
Yep. Well, on that note, it's been another incredible episode. I love hearing these stories. And this is exactly why we do what we do, is to hear these stories of hope and perseverance and strength. And if you liked this, join us again next time for another episode of That's the Hashtag Truth.
Thank you for listening to That's the Hashtag Truth. Remember to catch new episodes every other week on your favorite podcast channels. To learn more, visit us at jennymuscatel.com or muscatelministries.com.